ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And we've seen so far in our study of Genesis that God created the heavens and the earth, and everything was very good. He created man and woman, placed them in the Garden of Eden. And God said, look, everything in the garden is for you to partake of. Of every tree you can partake of, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there was going to be consequences. In dying, they would die. They would not only die a physical death down the road as the death process began, but spiritually speaking, they're going to be separated from God. And we've seen that. We could just look at our lives now. You know, our lives as we get older, they go from order to disorder. They're wearing down. The things we could do when we're 18, we can't do now. Or we can do them, but then we'll pay for it. And that's just part of the curse. It's part of sin entering this world and the death process. The whole second law of thermodynamics. In our last study, we looked at the judgment that came upon man, upon woman, and upon Satan who tempted them. And as we read on, we looked at the genealogy of Cain, which is kind of interesting. Remember, Cain slew his brother Abel. Sin entered the world, yes, through Adam, but now that sin nature was passed down to his descendants like Cain. And the lineage of Cain, we only follow for a very brief period of time. And the reason is simple, it's cursed. The Messiah is not coming from the lineage of Cain. But why do we even have it there? What is so important that God has to tell us the lineage of Cain? Well, I think there's a good reason, because what the lineage of Cain shows us is a life of a person apart from God. And here's how it's played out. And we talked about it last time, but I think it will help lead us to what we're going to be looking at this evening. Cain equals acquisition. Enoch, dedicated. Irad, these are all the descendants of Cain. Fugitive or wild ass. Mahuliel, blot out that Yah is God, or wipe out the name of God. Methushael, they are dead who are of God. And Lamech, poor and lonely. And here's the point over this, and of all this, and it's really interesting. What this tells us is an acquisition that is a dedicated fugitive or a wild ass who is trying to wipe out the name of God, saying they are dead who are of God, and the reality is they are poor or lonely. That is a pretty good description of someone who doesn't know the Lord. And again, this is going to kind of lead us into another descendant of Adam, Seth, all the way up to Noah. And there's great hope in that genealogy. In the genealogy of Cain, not so good. But we'll see tonight the other genealogy. So let's pick up reading in Genesis chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study his word. We're told this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. So here in the book of Genesis, we see this phrase, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. Where else in the Bible do we see this phrase spoken of? Well, it's interesting, in the first book of the New Testament, in Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. One is the genealogy of the first Adam, the other is the genealogy of the last Adam. You see, the first Adam brought sin into this world and thus death. Paul spoke of it in 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die. Now, if he just stopped there, that would not be very good. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. So the first Adam brought death into the world. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, brought us everlasting life. You know, Paul, again, in 1 Corinthians 15:45, put it like this. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And you will see this played out as we go through Genesis chapter 5. It's really the story of mankind. It's a story of sin and death. Some 8 times we see the phrase, and he died, in this chapter. That's the first man, Adam. And without the last Adam, we would be dead and gone forever from God. But remember what Paul said in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 5. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, and I love that, but God. That was us, but God steps in here, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And we'll see in this chapter from the genealogy of Adam, the story of redemption. And it's an amazing one how God does this. Look at verse 3 here in Genesis 5. We're told this. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now, this is interesting, and most people really don't pick up on it, but I think it's important. There's a difference from when Adam was created to when Seth came on the scene. Adam was made in what? In the likeness of God. In other words, without sin, he was perfect when he was created. He was a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. But then we come to Seth, and notice specifically what it says. We're told that Seth was created in the image of who? Oh, in the image of Adam. Why? Well, because that sin nature was passed down, and his spirit was dead to the things of God. So he wasn't created in the image of God, able to communicate with God, because his spirit was dead. You know, Paul in Romans 5:12 said, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. And sin not only entered the world through Adam, but it was passed down to all of us. Our spirit, the thing which communicates with God, is dead, and only as we're born again can we communicate with God. Our spirit is made alive again, and that comes through Jesus Christ. So everyone that's born into this world is a sinner and needs to be born again. Now, we're told that Adam had Seth when he was 130 years old. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I can't imagine having a kid at 63. 100, no, 130, no. But they were healthier, they lived longer. And we have to understand, it doesn't mean that Adam and Eve didn't have other children at this time. But this is where the lineage is going to come from. This is the one we're going to focus on. We're told in Genesis 5:4, he begot even more sons and daughters after the birth of Seth. So we don't know how many, but Adam lived for 930 years and he died. And isn't that what God told him? In dying you shall die. The death process was going to begin the moment you sin, Adam. You're going to be separated from me. Your spirit's going to die. But your body, that second law of thermodynamics, is going to take over and everything is going to go from order to disorder. You're going to wear down and finally go back to the dust of the earth from which you were created. Now, as we read on here, we're going to kind of talk about what each name means. And we did that with the genealogy of Cain, and we saw the message God has for us, and I believe God has one here for us as well. And it's an important one. Adam means man. Seth means approved. Look at verse 6, and we're going to go through these kind of quickly. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enos or Enosh means subject to death. Look at verse 9. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Canaan means sorrowful. verse 12. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel means from the presence of God. Verse 15. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared means one comes down. Look at verse 18. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and he begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Enoch means dedicated. Verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Now, let me stop there. That name means dying he shall send. Very interesting name, you know. Look at verse 23 as we continue talking about Enoch. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. Isn't that an interesting phrase? What does it mean? Well, I think they were in agreement. You know, we think that everyone at this time just loved and worshiped the Lord. Not so. We're going to see that as we get to chapter 6 of Genesis. But here was a man who loved God and walked with God. They were in agreement. That's what Amos 3:3 says. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? You can't, because you're going in different directions. And it was a walk by faith, trusting in God. Just like we're told in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Just trusting in the Lord. And like John said, John in 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. In other words, you can't just walk in darkness and say, yeah, I'm in great fellowship with God. I'm doing this sin and that sin. And no, you're not. You're a liar. You can't walk in darkness. It doesn't mean we don't fail, that we don't stumble. We do. But we have to get back. We have to focus back on the Lord. And then it says that God took Enoch. What does that mean? He went to be with the Lord. Well, that's the $100,000 question. There's a story of a little girl who is sharing the story of Enoch with her mom, trying to figure out how this all happened. You know, what happened to Enoch? And she said, Enoch took very long walks with God. And one day, as he was walking with God, he walked so far away that God said to Enoch, Enoch, it's too far for you to go back home. Come home with me. Oh, I love little kids, you know. That's a great story. But here was a man that was walking with the Lord in a very, very wicked world. And there may have been 6-7 billion people on the earth at this time. The population increased tremendously. He didn't surrender to the wishes of this world. He didn't compromise. You know, I was working on a study today. The idea was talking about compromise and looking at the life of Lot. And it was like, look at all that Lot compromised in his walk with God. It was never enough for the world. They always wanted more. And it's a story where God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and the men and the boys, all of them from the city come, and the two angels are at Lot's house, and they want to know them carnally. And Lot's trying to protect them. He's even willing to give his daughters, which, you know, people try to say that was, you know, just a hospitable thing to do. Are you kidding me? That's your daughters. Don't give them. How could you do that? But we'll get to that when we get there. But the thing is, the angels blind all these perverted people, these men and boys, and they're still groping at the door to get inside to do their wickedness. They're never satisfied with how much Lot compromised. They always pushed them for more. Look at what they're doing for us. Oh, you don't accept homosexuality. You don't accept transgenderism. You're hateful. You're intolerant. No, we're not. We just don't accept it as a lifestyle. Do you accept pedophiles? They probably would tell you no at this point. Down the road, I don't know. So they're intolerant too. You see, we all have a standard to live by. What is our standard to live by? Our plumb line is the Word of God. It's pretty simple. It doesn't matter what I think or what I want to believe. What does God have to say? That's what I have to follow. It's interesting because in Hebrews 11:5, Paul talks about the faith of Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, don't you want to live a life that pleases God? To have God say, you know, I'm really pleased with you. Well done, good and faithful servant, when we go to be with him. Absolutely. It's interesting. Why did Enoch name his son Methuselah? I mean, it's kind of a cool name. I always wanted to name my kid Medulla Oblongata because I think that's a really cool name. But, you know, my wife wouldn't let me. So, but Methuselah, I think he got that from God because his name means dying he shall send. And in the year that Methuselah died, guess what came? The flood. Wow. In fact, Jude tells us that Enoch was a prophet. Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He's speaking of the second coming of the Messiah. You know, judgment was coming here, but he's talking about another judgment coming at the end of the age. He didn't die. He was taken up to be with the Lord after walking with the Lord for 300 years. Where did he go? I am not going to be dogmatic about this because I'm not really positive on this one. Some say he went to Abraham's bosom before it was Abraham's bosom because Abraham's not around yet. It's Hades. It was separated by a division. Those that rejected the Lord were on one side and those on the other side were comforted. It's possible. I mean, there's good reason to believe that. Could he have just been taken up to be with the Lord like Elisha? It's possible. I mean, I don't know. But what about their sin? I mean, Jesus didn't die. How could that be? The idea here, that was an exception possibly. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed for men to die once and then comes the judgment. That's the rule. You die once and then comes the judgment. But there were those who were raised from the dead. There are those that will be caught up in the rapture. They're not going to die. So the rule is you're going to die once and then comes the judgment. So maybe that's what's going on here. Maybe, you know, it's an exception for Elijah and Enoch. Again, I'm not going to be dogmatic on that, but let's read on. Look at here in chapter 5 of Genesis, verse 25. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech means to the poor and lowly. And remember, Methuselah is the longest living person in the Bible that's recorded, 969 years. Why? Well, think about it. When he died, what was coming? Well, the flood. Now, I don't know, you know, they knew what his name meant, right? Could you imagine every time he got sick? Oh, no, you know, take care of him. Give him some chicken noodle soup or whatever. I don't know. They took probably good care of Methuselah. But his life is the longest in the Bible, and it gives us a picture of what? God's grace. Wow. Judgment was coming, but what was God doing? He was patient. He was long-suffering. He was giving man every opportunity to repent before the flood came. You know, Peter said that in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is so gracious and merciful. I mean, we look at what's going on in the world today, and we can't believe it. We are just blown away at the wickedness, immorality that's going on. How people are just flaunting their sin in the face of God, just like they did in Sodom, just like they're, you know, going to be doing during the tribulation period as well. But here's the thing. God is so gracious because I can tell you when I see the things that are happening, I just want to toast them. I just want to get people, that's it, you're done. And guys, I'm giving you a chance. This is my grace. Don't pass it up. I'm giving you an opportunity. Man. What a gracious and merciful God we have. Look at verse 28 here in Genesis chapter 5. Lamech lived 182 years and he begot a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. Noah's name means rest or comfort. Now, you think, well, why did God devote pretty much this whole, well, really this whole chapter, to these men who begot and begone or died? Well, because of what their names mean. Just like the descendants of Cain, what their names meant. This is what these names, as you put them together in a sentence, show us. The man approved to death, sorrowful. From the presence of God, one comes down dedicated. Dying, he shall send to the poor and lonely rest and comfort. Is that what Jesus has come to do? It absolutely is. There's the gospel message to us thousands of years before Jesus came into this world, where God became flesh and dwelt among us. The world was going into darkness. We're going to see the depravity of it as we get to chapter 6, just like it is today. And thus, in the midst of the darkness, here's the good news. And what do we have? We have the good news in the midst of this darkness today. So keep that in mind. And here's the thing. If these genealogies are consecutive, and I believe they are, Seth died when Noah was 14 years old. And Methuselah was alive when the ark was built. And when he died, well, the flood came. So information was not passed on over and over and over again. There's just a few different people that this was passed down to. Well, look at verse 32 in Genesis 5. And Noah was 500 years old and begot, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So as we move into Genesis chapter 6, we're going to see the focus center upon this one family, Noah and his children. And you're going to see that things in this world are getting darker and darker, and God's going to do something about it. He's going to put an end to all that darkness, and he's preparing to pour out his judgment upon a world that is in rebellion to him. We're not that many generations down the road. And look at the rebellion that's going on against God. See how easy it can happen? You know, as far as I can tell, statistically speaking, the death rate is still one per person. 100% of us will die unless the rapture happens. But the good news is Jesus has taken the sting out of death. That's what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The sting of death is gone. Why? Because to be absent from the body, we're to be present with the Lord. That is the good news. We have eternal life with him. Chapter 6, a very interesting chapter. Let's pick up in verse 1. Chapter 6 of Genesis, verse 1. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. This is one of those very, very controversial portions of Scripture. Why? Well, who are the sons of God and who are the daughters of men that are spoken of here? And there's really two main viewpoints. There may be others, but the main ones that stick out. I'll give you both of them, but I believe there's only one that the Scriptures support. And you may not agree with me, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But my challenge to you is to look at what's being said here and see what really makes sense. I think it's really kind of clear if you look at it. The first view is kind of simple, probably the least, well, it is the least controversial. They believe that the sons of God are the godly line of Seth, and the daughters of men are the ungodly line of Cain. Sounds good, right? But there are some problems. When you look at the lineage of Seth, were they all godly? No, they weren't. They were wicked. I mean, judgment's coming upon the whole world except for Noah and his sons, right? So they couldn't be that good if God's going to judge them. Something's wrong with that. Why were only the sons of Seth these believers and only the daughters of Cain the unbelievers? What about the daughters of Seth and the sons of Cain? I mean, what about them? I mean, it just doesn't fit. And why would people believe that marrying unbelievers would make God angry enough to wipe out almost all the earth's population except for 8 people? Again, that doesn't make sense to me. Now, some would like to say that in the New Testament, the term sons of God is used for believers. So why not here? And it is. That's true. The term sons of God is never used in the Old Testament for believers. We do see it spoken of three times in the Old Testament, but not referring to believers, and I'll show you what I mean in a few minutes, who they speak of. But what about the arguments that speak of this being people, just human beings, this phrase that they take here, and they'll go to Luke 3:38 to support it? The son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, oh, the son of God. And the point here is that Adam was called the son of God. So it must be speaking of people, right? Think about what we talked about. Was Adam created in the image of God? Was Seth created in the image of God? No.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.